broadcasting to the world live the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, August 5th, 2009. The only August 5th, 2009 in the history of the world. Welcome in on this Wednesday night for this edition of the Gospel Revolution webcast. Glad to have you along, and looking forward to hearing from you this evening at 1-800-436-3260. We give out that toll-free number right away because it is good all over the USA and Canada and perhaps points beyond that. But we want to hear from you wherever you're listening live tonight on this August evening. And coming to us from north of the border, not only north of the U.S. border, but north of the Canadian border in the beautiful state of Alaska, the president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael.
Good evening. Yes, I am. And, you know, I am also just west of the Canadian border, not just north of it. As I've been able to look at a map of Alaska, so but what a state! I saved it for the 50th for whatever reasons, but what an amazing place to visit!
When you count all these states that you visited, are these places that some of them you've just driven through?
I have visited whatever each state has to offer as far as sightseeing and stuff like that. Not all of the points of interest, of course, but we've stopped and visited in every state in the union for sure.
So is Alaska your favorite now?
Well, my goodness, it's certainly the most unusual state. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, I mean, you get on the Alaska Railroad, and which in and of itself is an engineering feat just beyond what you can imagine. And we were on one leg of the Alaska Railroad, which went down to Whittier. And just above you there is, on the mountain side, which you're very close to at this bay, and you're also where the cruise ships dock. And up on the side of this mountain, it is just this huge glacier, and the glaciers, of course, at this time of year, have the snow melted off of them, so they have this an aqua blue color to them. And waterfalls coming off of this mountain, which we're about, I'd say just as the crow flies directly to the waterfall, probably a mile to 2 miles, something like that, somewhere in that vicinity. And you can hear these roaring waterfalls coming off of the mountainside. And just every direction you turn is another glacier and another view, and for anyone, and we've still yet to go north from here to Denali Park and to see Mount McKinley, the highest point in the North American continent. But we've gone through, of course, I like the history part of it too, so today we've set through a film on the 1964 earthquake, which happened on Good Friday. So it turned out not to be a very good Friday, but the earthquake took place at, like 5:37 in the evening. So all the schools were out and everybody was home from work. So everybody was out of all the large structures when this earthquake hit. And, 4th Street, right downtown in Anchorage, one side of the street was untouched and the other side of the street, the businesses dropped 30 feet into the ground. So, the largest earthquake ever recorded on the North American continent was here in 1964. And also, it was the second largest earthquake recorded on planet Earth that has been recorded by human beings. So,
there was not Christian television and radio at the time on a widespread basis where we would have understood the amount of sin in Alaska that caused that to happen.
Yes, you know, that's the... I think they were able to deal with that a little bit better because, in 1964, there wasn't the talking heads on Christian TV. But just an amazing, amazing event that took place here. And not only was there the earthquake, but a wall of water came in and wiped out Seward, Alaska, which we're taking a train trip down there either tomorrow or Friday, and completely wiped it off the map. And so there was the big tsunami. There was a tsunami also in California that killed several people in I think it's Crescent, California. So it was a major geological event that took place here in 1964 as far as the planet is concerned, not just as pertaining to the U.S. Or Alaska per se, but a major a world event as far as geologically speaking was concerned. So, tsunamis all the way down through California and, killed people in an awful big area. But the fact that, the timing of it, the fact that it was a vacation, Good Friday, and the time of evening, it was certainly a good time for it to happen. So, but the stories are just utterly amazing, you know, to hear people, we heard one woman tell about her story that she was home with her three children when she first began to feel the earthquake and ran outside, and they were standing on a patch of earth in their front yard. And they watched their house split in two, and they watched their house completely fall into a unknown ravine. And then the piece of earth that they were standing on began to surf toward the ocean. And they were watching things pass them. So they were riding a patch of earth toward the sea and watching their neighbors' houses pass them as they were literally riding this patch of earth down. So, yeah, so there's things that that people have experienced that that I don't have any way to relate to. But what an amazing, amazing, amazing story!
And, well, they must have thought it was the end of days.
Well, the one thing that was repeated over and over and over was that very thing, was that people were saying, well, this is the end of the world, because it was so catastrophic, and the earth shook for 15 solid minutes for many of these people here.
Wow.
And at a 9.2 on the Richter scale. 9.2 for 15 minutes. So, that would definitely make you think it's the end of the world as we know it, for sure.
A lot of things have made people think of that throughout history, and that's what we do with the Gospel Revolution and with this webcast, is to bring things into perspective and to remind people of the historical context of which we have experienced and which we live. This is Glenn Klein online. That's Michael Williams in Alaska tonight. Where are you exactly?
I am almost downtown Anchorage. We are the bed and breakfast where I am staying is just off of what is called International Avenue and Arctic Avenue. So if anybody wants to Google Earth me, they'll be able to see kind of where we are. It's actually on 19th Street, but it's at close to the intersection. 250,000, which is half of the population of the entire state, lives in the city of Anchorage.
Wow.
Yet, if you were to put an acetate of the entire state of Alaska, all the way from its eastern, southeastern border attaching to Canada, to the outlying islands that go out away, kind of like it does away from Key West, all of that is still Alaska. The western point of Alaska would end in the shores of California, and the eastern point of Alaska would end at the shores of South Carolina.
Well, this is our geography update tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Williams. We go from one corner of the continent to another corner of the continent, to Dublin, Georgia, where we have Matt Perry on the line. Matt!
I'm on the line?
Yes.
Hey,
how are you?
What's up? I'm good. How are y'all?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Mike.
Good to hear from you.
Talking to Mike in Alaska.
Yep. It's always good to hear from both of y'all. I'm not able to hear y'all online, but I'm on the phone. I don't really even have a topic. Last week, nobody called in at all. And if I'm calling in, then something's wrong because, I don't know, it could go crazy.
Well, if you couldn't hear us online, how did you know that then, Matthew?
Well, I just presumed that you would be doing the 9 o'clock Wednesday webcast.
No, but I mean, how did you know that we did not have a caller last week? How did you know that?
I listened to the archive.
Oh, you archive it.
I don't archive it.
I listen to
it. I'm an archive listener.
Sweet. As most of our people are.
Yeah, I hear that. I try to listen. I could listen live, but it's just a lot more convenient
to
listen to the
archive. Glad we've clarified that. So Michael has been meeting Matt with a number of people in Alaska, not only doing his sightseeing and his history finding, but you've been talking to some folks up there about the gospel, Michael. And what are some of the prevailing questions? What are some of the topics that people up there are interested in talking about?
Our discussions, of course, are a little bit different than my typical sessions because the people that I'm meeting with are not just fresh out of church or most of them have not been deeply involved in religion. But they range from a lot of categories of spirituality to not really embracing that there is a God, may be a God, but the ones that we've talked to, it's been questions along those lines. And of course my directive has been, you know, that we're not talking about a belief in God, we're talking about a belief God has in us, which for these people who've they're just kind of sick of Christianity and sick of putting up with the religions of the world, they are quite mesmerized by the refocusing the emphasis not on us trying to learn about God, but instead we're simply embracing, you know, God's view and opinion of us.
Right.
So, and that's really different, you know. And we've shared that, I'm not even trying to convince them that there is a God. I'm trying to convince them of the gospel. And so that just kind of freaks them out, you know. It's like my big issue is not that you believe in God, but the thing of it is that most people who are atheists because they're angry with God. Now there's a lot of really good atheists who, because of logic and reason that they go through, they just do not believe in God. But there's a great number of people who follow atheism out of anger for God, which is kind of a kind of an oxymoron, if you will.
Yeah, if you really think about it.
Definitely. So it's quite a range of questions, from being a bit philosophical to and of course I always try to bring everything back to pique their interest about the gospel that they would want to know more, and of course then questions like, well, if what you're saying is true, then why does anybody need to believe in God anyway? And then, of course, I bring the whole thing back around again. Well, you've missed the whole point. We're not trying to get people to believe in God.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you said that.
Trying to get them to understand that God believes in them.
Yes. So, you know, their point of debate, which, you can tell, when you've been around people who debated, is there a God, is there not a God issues, and things like that. They have their talking points, and when you don't stick with what the atheist and the believer use as talking points, then it does shake things up for them as far as them having to stop and think about what you're saying, which is all I ever want to do, is to have people to stop and think. But I do believe that the gospel is beneficial for everyone who believes it, and that it is beneficial for the heart.
It absolutely is, and I think we all want to stop and think, but we've done that so many times and hit so many dead ends that we just get sick of it, and we expect the same results. But if we just keep on, keep your mind open to not too open, but really just keep the hope alive that there is something, different, something that I believe is really clicking, or I don't even know where I'm going with that, but I mean, that's what I'm getting out of what you're saying.
Well, Michael, why would they be interested in the gospel if they don't even believe that there's a creator?
Well, that's just it. They, they are open-minded people, it's not that everyone here is atheist. It's more that that some of them kind of entertaining the idea, and the few that we've had any conversation with at all, they're very open-minded people. So
yeah, that's like I was saying about being too open-minded, and that's probably a lot of where their trouble's coming from. Once again, I don't know exactly where I'm going with that, but I'm trying to follow myself and y'all at the same time, and it's a difficult thing.
Well, they definitely think that it's ironic that I teach something that leads people to the freedom to not believe in God, and that they just don't know what to do with.
Yeah, that's a baffling concept, and I only realize that in retrospect. I mean, if I would have known everything about the degree of freedom that the gospel has given me has opened my mind to a degree that, if I would have known what I know, you don't ever really know anything, but if a lot of things become very obvious to you once you really start getting involved in the process of the gospel and of you, I'm losing myself, but what.
What type of things, Matthew, have become obvious to you?
Well, just everything. Everything, and then like I say, you don't really ever know anything. But whenever you open your mind, whenever you receive the gospel, or at least give a seed to the gospel, to maybe this is true, maybe it's not, and let it simmer on the back burner. And then if it's it's always a good idea to be suspicious of a new idea, at least in my own personal opinion, and to even constantly, no matter how far along in it you are, to look in it and say, am I being deceived in an inconceivable degree? But regardless, besides that skepticism, you should look at the reality of your daily life and the big picture and just say, what's what is completely obvious to you? What? And there's no words to it. It's just how you exist in your daily life. And I could explain, but I don't want to.
You have a church background, though, don't you, Matt?
Well, you don't know that, but I guess that's plainly obvious to you. Yeah, I have a fairly extensive church background. I was born and raised in church.
The things that Mike teaches and what the Gospel Revolution is all about, for somebody that is open-minded at all, there is a lot that does, Michael, become obvious. Because if you're in it long enough, you realize that so much of what's taught in the churches just doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. And then when you are taught something that is logical and that is contextual, then it does become obvious. And this is where we've had so-called converts to the gospel all over the globe.
Right. And I agree with most of what you say. I mean, I have got a lot of great things out of church, but if you want to compare and contrast, I would have been much better off being born and raised an atheist. I mean, I know that sounds harsh and critical, but
I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Yeah. But, you know, even atheism itself, I mean, I think there's verses in the Bible that say the fool says in his heart that there is no God, and no one really can. I don't think anyone who is being honest with themselves could come to the conclusion that there is no God, no higher power, or creator of themselves. But that's up to them to decide, and I'm not going to get involved in it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because to eliminate God, you have to you're going to have to base it on on sciences, and it's only known science to today's modern world, and it's only within our own atmosphere really that science can even be applied.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. That's what science is good for, just to get along in the present reality as we know it. And I don't know too many people who can disagree with the fact that no matter how, you can't know anything. I mean, you can think you can know and it can work, but you don't really know. But you just deal with what works, and the gospel works for me. And it's tried and true. I've been listening to y'all. I don't know how God blessed me with, you know, opening this avenue of, you know, just of what, you know, of everything that the gospel has to offer that y'all have shown me. But he did show it to me, and so that just shows me that he's going to, you know, I don't know that even, but I'm going to continue to just follow what brought me there.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Matt, for not having anything to share, you've shared a lot. And,
well, I didn't have any pointed subjects, but I've got a lot in my heart and mind.
Well,
I don't want to. Maybe there's someone else who wants to call in tonight.
Well, perhaps. We
hopefully
we
so.
We're glad you called.
Thank you. I'm glad I did too, but don't expect it too much, but it was a joy. It was a definite joy.
All right, Matt. Thank you.
It definitely was. Thanks.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Matt Perry, y'all, from Dublin, Georgia. That's literally in the opposite corner of where you are, Michael, in Alaska.
That is true.
Wonder if the agnostic and rate of atheism is higher in Alaska than in the lower 48.
You know, it's a good question. I think from the type of people that I have met here so far, you know, there's a lot of quite earthy people here, you know.
Mm-hmm. You have to be.
Yes, it kind of reminds you of being maybe someplace in around San Francisco or something like that. It actually reminds me of the 70s being up here, and a lot of people that just kind of look like they are, forgive the pun, frozen in time, you know, from the 70s. So But I'm not sure why that is. But I mean, it's a beautiful place. I would never live here because of not only the cold, but the darkness, which that's what everybody here says, that it's the dark that's hard to deal with. It's not necessarily the weather. So.
Right, because obviously there's a lot of cool places in the lower 48, but the lack of sunshine there. I mean, how much daylight is up there right now in August?
Well, in August, of course, it's already gone back quite a bit. The sun comes up at 5:30 in the morning, and the sun sets at 10:30. Of course, you've got to realize that then the process of twilight, you know, the evening hours after and before the sun comes up, there's a lot of light because the sun doesn't go down and then go down. Because as you watch the sun, like if you locate the sun in the sky and it is just above the horizon, you would think that it would drop right straight into, like, you know, when you watch the sun set, you know, anywhere around the Midwest or down in Florida. If you see the sun, it's going to drop right straight where it is. But here, it's going to travel along the horizon and then go down somewhere, you know, to the east or west of, or come up, whatever's happening to the east or west of where you happen to see it. So the daylight actually lasts much longer than what the daylight lasts after sunset happens, you know, at home. You know, once the sun sets, you've got, you know, what, 30 minutes, that's 30, 45 minutes that it's still light outside. But here, once the sun sets, you've got another, you know, you've got 2 hours while it's still light outside. And right. 2 hours that it's light outside before sunrise, too.
Well, we know the entire state has not been completely absolved of religion, because we certainly know that the former governor of the state of Alaska, Sarah Palin, was involved and is involved in a pretty heavy-duty fundamentalist, charismatic type perspective, and so that the reaches of charismania has even made its way up to Alaska for sure.
Oh yeah, no doubt. It's I don't mean to leave the impression that they're void of their Assemblies of God and Baptists and Methodists and Catholics and Presbyterians. They certainly are here. And in fact, I was talking with some folks I met, and there is a pastor here in Anchorage, and they say he has a really large church. I don't know what large church is here, since the city only has 250,000 people altogether. But he's a very vocal anti-gay minister. So, you know, does public demonstrations and marches against the gay community. And so they mentioned that he's here. So definitely it is not... with all the wonderful atheists that we have here in the state of Alaska, there's also those of the Christian faith who are demonstrating their hatred for others, couched in the, you know, love the sinner, hate sin mentality.
Right.
So, yeah, it's here. Alive and well.
This is Glenn Klein online, alive and well. Michael Williams of the state of Alaska tonight. It might be nice to get out of the humidity of Houston for a little while.
Be nice to get out of the humidity?
Yes.
From my goodness, it's been nice to get out of the heat. I mean, it's 100 degrees every day right now in Houston.
Right.
And So yeah, this cooler climate, I kind of thought was that getting that cool there would be more of a chill, but it seemed like the temperatures seem warmer at 70 here than they do at 70 in Houston. I don't know why that seems that way, but it definitely feels much warmer than 70 here when it is 70. So,
because it's less humid up there.
That's why.
It's less humid.
Yes, I'm sure that it is. I'm not sure what humidity.
The humidity, when it's cooler, it goes right through you. That's why, I mean, in Florida, man, during the winter, when it gets into the 40s or 50s, I mean, it seems freezing because you still have that dampness in the air. But enough with the weather report, ladies and gentlemen. We're waiting to hear from you to hear a good report at 1-800-436-3260. About halfway through this edition of Glenn Klein Online, a special edition with Michael up in Alaska. When are you coming home? Mike? Michael? We have lost Michael Williams. He dropped off on his cell phone with a big question in the air when he is returning to the great 48. That gives you a good opportunity to call us online at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. We've got plenty of time to get you online to ask your questions, to have your comments heard, to have Michael hear from you. We really do want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. That's the number to call so that your voice can be heard tonight. And your contribution in addition to this webcast makes it much more interesting and enjoyable and fulfilling. That's just the bottom line, is your input really has a lot to do with this success of this radio show. So if you are listening and it's a little after 9:30 on the East Coast of the United States on Wednesday night, you're listening live, and we would love to hear from you. So this is our direct request to you to please pick up the phone and do like Matt Perry did from Dublin, Georgia, and call us at 1-800-436-3260. And if you're listening on the archive, as we know most of you do, because it's just more convenient, you have obviously all the hours of the week other than this 1 hour to listen to it, so you can listen to it whenever you want. Your comments and questions are very much desired by email at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. The address is webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and we get to all those questions in due course. So please, as you're thinking about things, if you've got a question or some insight, some perspective that you'd like to share, that's the address, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. So we have Michael back?
I am here.
You dropped off there for a second.
I know. It just went doodle-dink, and I was gone.
Well, this is the nature of cellular technology. It is not perfected yet.
No doubt.
But I was asking you before you could cut off, was how long are you going to be up there for?
My flight leaves here on the 10th, and I will be returning to Houston on a red-eye flight, and arriving on the 11th, the morning of the 11th. And I am home 2 days, and then I fly out to Indianapolis, Indiana, where Grant Miller will be picking me up, and we'll be going north for 2 hours again, and we'll be doing the meetings there, another set of meetings like we did in the spring there at New Manchester. Really looking forward to that. So the Miller family is such a great host family, and have become good friends. So so I've got some traveling to do between now and the end of the month. And did I mention that my birthday is going to be August the 16th while I'm there in in Indiana? Did I?
Well,
did
it usually is
that?
Every year on August 16th.
Yes, number 57 coming up.
Just so they know about it, so they can, you know, really pull out all the stops.
Well, I drop hints to everybody I can. I think this is the fifth webcast in a row that I've mentioned it. So
I have no shame. Michael, I want to get back to the people you've been talking to in Alaska. You said that there's, you know, been a lot of atheistic perspective, but once you get past that, is there, has there been a prolonged discussion? Is there prolonged interest in what you have to share with them? And if so, what are they drawing from? If they don't have a church background, if they don't have a Bible-based experience, how are you interrelating with them versus the church-grown people that normally we talk to?
Well, some of them are, of course, some of them do have church backgrounds and, you know, have traveled to the point of, considering atheism. And that's, I think that's probably the thing, is that a lot of them do have church backgrounds. And first off, it is amazing to them and really to anyone who has felt that they had to travel all the way from a belief in God to find relief from God, and then find out that in God there is relief from God, if you will, at least from the perspective of the angry God and the judgmental God and the rewarding and punishing God. And they're definitely familiar with the language of Christianity. So, but they've certainly never heard it in these type of terms. So, I think that's what makes it intriguing to them. I know there are some true atheists, but I really, in my experience, the vast majority of people who say they're atheists will then explain why they got so angry at God that they quit believing in God.
Right.
They don't believe in God because if there was a God, my baby wouldn't have died. I just do not believe there is a God because, you know, if there's a God, then why did the tsunami happen in 2004? And so, that's not an atheist. That's a person who does believe in God, but does not like the God that they had to come to believe in.
Well, and then there's the atheist-like people like Bill Maher or Christopher Hitchens that you see in the media on television.
Yes.
And they've discounted
uh-huh.
it because they just think it's just one big fairy tale.
Absolutely.
And I hear that.
And I understand that, and I respect it. But still, even in listening to Bill Maher, their reasoning is coming from that they think it's just a big fairy tale. It's based in the conflict that they see in people's belief in God. That there's a God of love who is, you know.
Right. Well, they definitely have studied, at least a lot of them, have studied enough religion and are smart enough to see the contradictions in it. And when you jump off that point where you see the incredible inconsistencies with the denominations and within a denomination, and then the actual stories of the Bible, like Noah and the flood and Jonah and the big fish, and I mean, you know, even the resurrection from the dead of Christ.
Right,
you know, that's a lot to swallow from somebody who wants to just see everything right in front of their face right now.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing of it is there will always be those, you know, that's for sure. There is no doubt that that is that will be the case. But the interesting thing is in the situations where I've encountered people who say they are atheists, in fact, I had one of my friends who is a professing atheist. We've been friends for several years now, and he said, "Well, he said one thing for sure, and I mean, you could tell his heart was moved, and he by what I was sharing with him, and he said, if there is a God, I would believe in God the way you believe in God." And so it does touch their hearts. It does cause a second thought. And and with atheists who try to prove the point, my whole thing is trying to provoke thought with anyone. So even with the atheists, I want to at least provoke thought, and I remember us sitting out in their backyard. In fact, one of his atheist friends were there, so it was two atheists and me. I mean, here again, we sound like we're ready to tell a nice joke. There was two atheists and Mike Williams sitting in a backyard.
In Alaska.
And but anyway, during the middle of our conversation, which is always pleasant. It's never, ever, ever like what takes place between Christians who one believes in dunking and one believes in sprinkling, and the anger that you can get in that. I mean, here's somebody that believes in God and two people that do not believe in God. And so at one point, I mean, it was a very starry, beautiful night, and I asked them, I said, okay, I said, you, and they were talking about eternity, and I said, we just don't believe in eternity or God or any of those concepts at all. And so I asked them, I said, I want you to tilt your head back and look up. And so them being the extremely, extremely nice fellows that they were, they went along and tilted their head back, and I said, now tell me, based on science, where that ends. And they said, well, science does not know where that ends. And the reality is that it can't ever end. And I said, so you are looking at eternity with your physical eye, but you do not believe in eternity. And if you cannot, if one of your senses can actually see eternity, how can you say that you know there is no God? And so they both kind of sat back, and these are very, very intelligent fellows, and so sat back, and so we our progress, and of course they wanted me to prove there's a God, and I said, I can't prove there's a God to you. I said, I don't have any desire to prove it anyway. And but I did, tell them what I believed. And hold on one moment. I've got to shut a window. There's a saw running outside the window here.
Uh-oh. Somebody's doing some late evening work or afternoon work in Alaska.
Yeah. So
what time is it there?
Let me see. The time here.
How many hours behind are you on from the East Coast?
It's 5:42 here.
Okay, so you're 4 hours different.
From you, yes.
So yeah, when you're out looking at these stars and talking about eternity with these guys, what time of night do the stars come out?
Oh, this was at another time, some other friends. This has been a few years ago.
Oh, this wasn't in Alaska.
No, this was just another story about some other friends who were atheists. So anyway, our conclusion of that night was that I could not prove there is a God, and they accepted the fact that their insistence that there is no God is a belief. And they said they had no choice but to accept that their perception that there is no God is a belief, just like my perception that there is a God is a belief.
Well, I wonder how you would do with a Christopher Hitchens or a Bill Maher. You know, they're so used to talking to religious people who don't have the answers because they've accepted, you know, just a very watered down version of religion or Christianity, or they're just used to rejecting on face value the evangelical or fundamentalist message, which is understandable. But I think when we come to people with reasoning and with love and compassion and acceptance, that it's hard to argue. I was talking with a woman this afternoon, and I made the statement that religion is the number one vehicle for evil in the history of mankind. I mean, she was taken back by that. And she has, she's from a Catholic background, but she's not religious anymore. But she still, you know, really was shaken by that statement. And then I just demonstrated it to her, just historically, the genocide and the mass murder and the devastation that has been wrought by religion. And she was quick to understand that in our day and age, that this is what fundamentalist Islam is all about. And, you know, I pointed out they're Johnny Come Latelys to the whole party.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
She understood that. All right, folks, so we got a few more minutes left on the webcast. Love to hear from you tonight. Opportunity to talk to Michael in Alaska at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran waiting in studio to hear from you, to take your calls and get you online. 1-800-436-3260. So when you see all this wondrous creation and the stories of the earthquake and the tsunami, do you take it in, Michael, through gospel lenses?
I don't know of anything that I don't take in based on gospel lens that I look through probably at everything. Because I think you see more. I know I see more when I look through those gospel glasses, if you will. I realize that there's just geological things that are happening on the earth and have happened on the earth. I do believe and still believe in creation. I know that many things have changed since then. It's been very interesting to hear them tell us how relatively quickly Mount McKinley and that whole mountain chain was formed. It only took 3 million years as opposed to other mountain ranges that high, which they say was billions of years. But I think that what it put into reality is that, you know, before recorded history, obviously a mountain range could be created in quite a short time by the movement of the earth, you know, and the continental plates. So they take measurements of the heights of those mountains, and based on what they understand to be geological movements of the earth, and they calculate how long it took for these mountains to get that high based on what's happening now. And that's where the sciences You know, and that may be all true, but the sciences are incomplete because they can only base it on what they know now. And they don't know that there was not a cataclysmic event that moved and shifted the continental plates. You know, we know Mount St. Helens in one split second went from the seventh highest peak in North America. Mount St. Helens went from the seventh to the 13th highest in split second. So, you know, it is, it's just the absolutes of some of that. And that's the reason that I tell people, I say, well, do you still believe in creation? I'm very honest. I let people know I do believe in creation. I don't discount, any science whatsoever, but I've just not heard anything that is a science that has the ability to calculate what was happening a million years ago, or 3 million years ago, or a billion years ago, and still call it science. I think that that's intellectually dishonest to say that we know that this took this many billion years for this to happen, when we have no clue what the atmospheric conditions or the speed of the movement of the tectonic plates have been in previous generations. We would not even know that more than 6,000 years ago of recorded history of man. We just don't know. So they've never... nobody's ever impressed me enough, and I watch all of the stations. You get totally saturated with National Geographic and other wonderful things that I love to watch. And if you go to any museum, such as we did today, you're going to hear about millions and billions of years ago this was happening here, there, and someplace else. And which could be true, but I think just based on just taking that face value, I don't think any of those sciences could even come anywhere close to claiming to be anywhere near accurate. It is at very best an assumption that if all of these current conditions that we know now existed then, that it's a possibility that their guesstimations could be true. But that's not the way that it is presented. So,
well, what about all the fossil records and all that stuff?
Well, a fossil record is it's just that. The measurement of time, even on a fossil record, is based on radiation and carbon dating is the number one source for that. But carbon dating is based mostly on the amount of radiation that is absorbed from the sun in any given period of time. Well, that's assuming that the amount of radiation that is in a fossil was absorbing certain amounts of radiation based on the way the atmosphere is today. But if the Bible story of the flood, which records that there is a there was a vapor barrier literally around the earth, there was no such thing as direct sunlight, and we know that the even at a nuclear plant, the most natural barrier between radioactivity and the air is water. So they literally bury nuclear waste under a vat of water, and it completely seals it. It's safe then. But if this if indeed the Genesis account of this situation were true, then the this atmosphere would have been protecting the planet from the radiation exposure, which would give a scientific reason for the length of mankind's life before the flood that the Bible records, the scriptures record, that the length of man's life went you know, from reaching up near 1,000 years all the way down to you know, what we know of it as today, even, and fluctuating according to known health understanding and cleanliness and for health. But if that's true, then this radiation would have been stored up in this protective barrier. And there's no way that you can use current science and measure that radiation, because it would be off the charts if indeed that vapor barrier, according to Genesis, fell from the sky. Mm-hmm. So the inconsistency for me is that I've never encountered a science that can tell you what the science was a million years ago, or even 6,000 years ago. They can't say what the science was. What was the atmosphere like 6,000 years ago? And but there are things that have happened. I remember it's been about 10 years ago. I know they had this discovery of a piece of sap that they said was some 6,000 years old, and it was a bubble that was trapped inside and of air. So they very carefully preserved it because they wanted to find out what the air content was inside that bubble. And when they did, under controlled, and this was, you know, in I remember it was in USA Today about this finding, and the results were that they found that the oxygen that was inside of this fossilized, little piece of sap from a tree had 20%. More oxygen in the air. And it just totally baffled them. So just that one thing, and that was from 6,000 years ago.
Right.
So you know, 20%, I think it's 20% more oxygen. It's either 10 or 20, I can't remember. But see, at those levels, lightning would set everything on fire. It was because of the high oxygen content, there would just been fires everywhere. But the fact
hey,
that
Mike,
it is,
I got to interrupt because I'm like, is Sean he still online?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's welcome from Kenai, Alaska, Bob McIntosh. Bob.
Oh, hi, Glenn. Hi, Mike.
Sorry for the wait.
Oh, that's good. I like listening to Mike.
Hey, Bob, where are you?
I'm in Kenai. So good to hear that you made it up to Alaska. I'm not going to be able to make it up to Anchorage. I'm south of Anchorage, about a half an hour by air, about 3 hours by car.
Well, we're going to make it down to Seward in the next couple of days. Is that closer to you?
That's closer, yeah, but I'll be busy, so... Kind of a short notice when I heard that you were coming up here.
That's all right. What do you have to ask or share tonight?
Okay, well, a couple of things is I've heard that Mike's going to do a teaching on the whole Hebrews, which I sounds like it'd be like the thing he did on Galatians, and I'm really looking forward to that. I've heard a lot of his stuff on Hebrews. I like the way that he looks at the context of everything, and. There's he's taught me so much. I've learned so much from him about Hebrews, just the ones here and there that I'm really looking forward to.
Well, that, Michael, of course, is going to be at the second annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Houston in November. You're going to literally start from Hebrews 1:1 and go through the entire book.
Yes, that's for sure. And, yeah, why don't you, and in fact, my suggestion is come down and hear it live.
Well, you know, I'd like to do that, but, you know, the money thing, but,
I understand. It's a long journey,
you know,
too.
Yeah, it is. And the reason I live in Alaska is because I don't handle hot weather very well.
Well, you're in the right place, but we had some hot weather here Sunday, didn't we?
Here in Alaska?
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty warm. We've had a couple of days of hot weather this year, but not a lot.
Yeah.
So what else do you got for us, Bob?
Hot for Alaska, anyway.
What's that? Oh, I was just, you know, and another thing I like about Mike's teaching, he doesn't necessarily, you know, he doesn't worry about every little thing. A lot of these, you know, about having to deal with every little issue that is kind of irrelevant, really, to the gospel. And one issue that I'm kind of thinking is the hell issue. You know, he says if everybody's going to heaven, or you know, no one's going to hell, then it's kind of irrelevant to the when you discuss hell relative to where humans are going. And because I know when I first got into some of that teaching on hell years ago, that really led to a lot of problems when talking to other people in organized churches and stuff.
Right, and we just don't dismiss it out of hand. I mean, we've got incredible biblical and scriptural evidence to stand by to share with the people that God never intended, nor is there any proof biblically of a place of everlasting punishment for human beings who don't believe or adhere to a certain set of guidelines where they would go when they die.
Yeah, it's you know, I've been listening to Mike now for 5 or 6 years, and it's the most right-on teaching that I've come across. And I was into youth ministry and churches and stuff. So I kind of know where those people were coming from and all of their stuff. And the gospel that Mike preaches is really good news.
No doubt. How did you come across Mike's teaching, Bob? Do you remember?
Well, you know, I was actually on another website, and they had some samples of Mike's stuff, and I liked it and just followed it on through there. This was like 6-7 years ago.
Right. Well, we really appreciate you calling, and as Mike said, if you don't like the warm weather, you're definitely in the right spot.
Yeah.
Here in Florida, it is very warm right now.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see you guys.
Stay in touch. Don't be a stranger, Bob.
Okay. Bye.
All right, buddy. Thanks,
Bob.
There's Bob McIntosh from Kenai, Alaska. How wild is that?
That's awesome.
That's tremendous. Hey, speaking of Hebrews, so I stumbled across our buddy Joseph Prince on television last night and the book he was teaching from.
Ah.
The Book of Hebrews. And to hear his just absolute schizophrenic view, and he was doing his best to present what he sees as the gospel through that. I mean, he really was trying to make it good news. But, of course, he had to tie it into people walking in divine health and prosperity and relational healing. He couldn't separate it from our experience as human beings to what Christ actually did on the cross. But I thought it was really ironic, given your impact on him and your plan on teaching on the entire book of Hebrews at the Gospel Revolution Convention. I just thought it was fairly ironic.
Yeah, definitely. It's it's, you know, it's kind of a sad thing, actually, to to watch, knowing how many hours and time and effort and CDs and well, tapes then for him that he's listened to. But definitely drew the line where it affected money. So, yeah, a sad outcome, actually.
So far. But he's still on television.
Don't know the outcome yet.
With his book, Dust in the Rain.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the close of another Glenn Klein Online webcast with Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution. So you are headed to Mount McKinley tomorrow?
Either tomorrow or Friday. In Alaska, you kind of wait to see what the weather's going to do. So so we want to pick a sunnier day if we possibly can.
What's the forecast for tomorrow?
Tomorrow's weather for Anchorage, Alaska is degrees and rain.
All right.
However, we've got a Friday and a Saturday coming up that it is supposed to be sunny. So,
well, that sounds like a better trip to the mountain.
Yeah, I think that we will kind of do some things around Anchorage and then wait until the weekend, and then we'll be taking in a bit more traveling. So,
well, coming from the intersection of international and Arctic, what are some of the other street names that would be Alaska appropriate besides Arctic that you've noticed?
You know, I'm not real sure exactly. I know I've seen a couple. Well, let's see. There was one that it was Midnight Sun or something like that.
Yeah.
And then there was Northern Lights.
Nice.
And that's the only ones I remember.
Well, those are good ones. Perhaps you'll have some more to report from us when you return home to the Lone Star State for the land
definitely.
Of the night sun.
Absolutely. Definitely look forward to it. And do you know, my last factoid on the Alaska. First, I'm sure you know, but I'm going to ask you anyway, what is the capital of Alaska?
That would be Juneau.
Juneau. And do you know that Juneau, Alaska, is the only capital of any state that is not accessible by road?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how do you get there, then?
You get there by a seaplane, and that's about it. You either fly in or you don't go there.
Well, they must. I mean, people have been going there before they had seaplanes. They must have.
Well, they have, there's a ferry that goes through there. Actually, part of the international highway that comes all the way up the coast and goes all the way down into South America and runs all the way up into Alaska.
Yeah.
Part of the international highway, or the national highway, they call it here, is it's a ferry.
Well, on that perfectly symmetrical note, because you love fairies, we will end this Alaska excursion for the Gospel Revolution. And have a great time, Michael. Say hello to Chris for us and Scott and all the gang up there in the great Frozen Chosen area.
All righty, I sure will. And
enjoy
good talking
yourself.
To you, Glenn.
Thank
good
you.
Good to get to say hi to everybody around the planet.
No doubt. And that's what we do each and every Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen. We say hello to everybody around the planet with the good news that God loves everybody the same no matter what, all brought to you by the sacrifice of Yeshua, of Jesus, the Messiah. I want to thank Sean O'Halloran for engineering, producing, as always, in the studio. And I want to thank Matt Perry for calling from Georgia and Bob McIntosh from Alaska. And And until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!